Episode 125.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk about voice search and how that's going to be important for your website moving forward. We also tackle this topic of call to action fatigue. I've got a deal I'm going to make with you in the episode, and we're going to talk all about it. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Aleko, play the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You'd like to play the program called Late Night Internet Marketing, right? Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Getting the latest episode. Here it is from TuneIn.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else. But you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Haha, see? You like how I did that? So we're going to talk about voice search later, and I used what I called Aleko. I don't want to say her name, because I know some of you have her in earshot of this podcast, and I do not want to set off every voice-activated Amazon device in the free world by shouting her name. So we'll call her Aleko for this purpose of this episode. And you can hear this podcast right from your Aleko device. So enjoy that if that's helpful to you. I hope you guys are doing absolutely fantastic. My name is Mark Mason, and I am coming to you from the great city of Dallas in the great state of Texas. I hope that everything is going great for you. I had a fantastic week since the last time I talked to you. And one thing I did was I had one of these escape room experiences, and it reminded me of a great marketing lesson. So for those of you that don't know what escape rooms are, they're basically these rooms that they put you in and you have to solve a puzzle to get out. And I was involved in this for my day job. I had recently picked up a new team member, and we wanted to, you know, kind of gel as a team. And so we took off half a day from my day job, and I took my team to participate in one of these escape room adventures. And basically, the theme of this room was your dead uncle, who recently just died, was a member of a secret society called the Attic Society. And he wanted you to be a member too, but in order to become a member of the society, you had to pass the initiation. And the initiation was that you had to go into the attic. Once you go into the attic, you can't get out unless you escape. And if you don't escape within an hour, you get killed by poisonous gas or something like that. So as far as I know, there's no actual poisonous gas in this simulation, but we don't know because my team escaped. I have five of some of the smartest engineers you'll ever meet working for me. And I think they could escape out of pretty much any situation. So we got out of the escape room unharmed. For this particular room, the escape rate was only 40%. And that means that 40% of the people that attempt this room escape successfully within an hour. And that's considered sort of a beginner room at this place. So this is a place in Dallas, actually in Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas, called Escape Expert. A link to that place will be in the show notes. Highly recommended if you're in the area. They claim to be the largest square footage-wise escape room facility in the United States, and they have multiple rooms. I think 11 or 17 rooms. I can't remember. You can check out their website if you're so inclined, but it's a very cool thing to do. But the neat thing about it, For the purpose of this show, was the marketing lesson that I learned. Not that I learned so much, but that I was reminded of, because when you walk in, the very first thing that they ask you to do is they have a call to action for you. And we're going to talk about calls to action later in the show, but they have a call to action. The first thing they want you to do is to check in on Facebook, which makes sense, right? It's word of mouth marketing, guerrilla marketing. And so there are big signs with the Facebook logo that encourage you to check in on Facebook. And during the orientation, the guy asks for the thing. So there's one marketing lesson right there is, you know, if you're in marketing, one of the things you've got to do is you've got to ask for the sale. You've got to ask for the conversion that you want. And so this guy asked us to check in on Facebook, which we did. And then at the end of the escape room activity, you either win by escaping or you lose. And if you win, you get these amazing signs that say, I'm a winner, I'm a genius, I'm really smart, I crushed it, you know, and each one of the team members gets these signs to hold up. You get to take a fun picture and the place posts that picture to Facebook. You can go in and tag yourself. They send you the picture so you can post it to Facebook and so forth. And then as you're leaving, the guy asks you to please go on to Yelp and give a review of this destination. So very clear social media marketing strategy right there. And one of the things that makes that social media marketing strategy work is they create a fun thing. And so it's something shareable. In this case, the fun shareable thing they're creating is this goofy picture. My picture is actually posted in the show notes here for this episode. And it's fun to share. And so the lesson for you is if you've got ideas for creating something fun or something valuable or something that's worth sharing, that makes this whole organic social media marketing thing a lot easier. So it's a two-step process. You want to create something that's exciting and fun to share, and then you want to go ahead and ask for that share in a call to action. And again, we'll be addressing those calls to action next. So let's get right into that right now. So as you know, I'm a big fan of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. Cliff Ravenscraft is the podcast answer man, and he has the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. Link to that in the show notes. And the other day, he had this teaser for what I thought was going to be an incredibly controversial episode called Product Launch Fatigue. And I thought, for sure, Cliff, although it would have been very unusual for Cliff to do something like this, was going to attack people who use Jeff Walker's product launch formula and create this product launch fatigue. But basically, in this show, which I encourage you to listen to, it's an incredibly valuable episode over at the Cliff Ravenscraft Show, talks about his experience with this sort of thing that he calls at first in the episode, he calls it product launch fatigue. As it turns out, that's really kind of a fun thing to call what might more accurately be called call to action fatigue. And Cliff raises several issues about call to action fatigue. Some of the issue is around the idea that everybody seems to be promoting everything all the time. And a lot of our marketing channels are polluted, as Ray Edwards says on the same episode. Ray Edwards is Cliff's guest on this episode. They're polluted. Our content channels are polluted with these promotions and call to actions. And so, you know, Cliff's point of view is really simply, look, can't live without content. Content that people are clamoring for isn't really authentic whenever it's done for the purpose of promoting something else. Oftentimes, that's oftentimes the case, or at least that's Cliff's feeling. Let's hear a few words that Cliff has to say here about call to action fatigue.
Yeah, I matter of fact, I have nothing. I'm not fatigued about the actual process of PLF. I the only reason I chose the title that I shared with you is because I just it's the idea of we're always launching something, we're always promoting something, and it's I find it fatiguing, and yes. and it seems to be jamming up my content consumption stream with constant barrage of calls to action.
Well, I think you're 100% correct.
But I don't think that that's because of Jeff Walker's sequence or series or his formula. PLF, I just thought product launch fatigue. I'm fatigued about all these product launches. That's the only reason I chose PLF.
You're a good copywriter. So that's a provocative title.
Exactly. But let's go back to this idea of people who seem to, you know, they're promoting everything. It's like every piece of content is an opportunity to sell something and generate either a direct sale of their own product or a commission off of something else.
That's just a huge business mistake. You should not do that.
So I'm feeling this. I feel the same way Cliff does on occasion. It's something that I worry about with this very show because I call you to action all the time. I'm calling you to action to check out my affiliate links, and I'm calling you to action to check out the show notes, and I'm calling you to action to buy some product, and I'm calling you to action to check out some article or to go listen to Cliff's podcast. So here's the deal. For the rest of this episode, no more calls to action. No more. No more calls to action for the rest of this episode in honor of Cliff's presentation. But I will tell you, there is a right way and a wrong way to do calls to action. And in next week's episode, we're going to talk about some best practices for using calls to actions and promotions in your marketing channel. Wherever you're creating content, I want to give you some tips for how to do that the right way and ways to think about it. But I want to get inside my head a little bit and let you know what I'm thinking every time I call you to action. The only way I can help you is if I get you to do something for yourself. And I'll give you an analogy. If you're a smoker, and I know that smoking is bad for you, and maybe you've even expressed a desire to quit smoking, maybe the only way that I can help you quit smoking is to call you to action to buy Nicorette gum or whatever I've done a bunch of careful research about that actually works to help you quit smoking. After all, we know that internet marketing is replete with the vast majority of people that talk about doing something, study internet marketing endlessly, consume podcasts and blog posts and courses endlessly, but don't actually take action. So what I try to think of whenever I'm doing these things, and it's one of the best practices we're going to go into in detail next week, is, am I calling you to action in a way that will result in something that actually helps you? And do I honestly believe that? Do I honestly believe the value to you will be increased? Even if you're buying something, do I really think that's going to help you? That's where my head is really at every time that I call you to action. And I know that's a similar way that my buddy Ray thinks about things. I know absolutely that's the way Cliff and Pat Flynn, that's how we think about it. Not everybody thinks about it that way, and I think that's part of Cliff's beef. But next week, we're going to kind of do chapter two of this. But for now, what I want you to do, normally I would call you to action and I would say, take a look at your marketing and really sit back and understand, when you have a call to action, are you leading your prospects to something of value? But I'm not having any more calls to action in this episode. So I'll just leave it at that and let you choose to think deep thoughts about how you're calling your prospects to action for the rest of the episode.
It's time to get to work building your internet business. One night at a time.
Okay, so I led off this episode with my Amazon Echo device starting the podcast because one of the things that we want to talk about today is this idea of voice search. My house is full of these Amazon Echoes now. And in my particular case, you guys know I'm an Apple geek, okay? But I'm also an electrical engineer, and I love home automation. It's one of my favorite things to mess around with. And the truth of the matter is that while Apple has done some work in the home automation space with HomeKit, they're just woefully behind. I don't know what they're doing. They're kind of goofing around. And the thing that's really frustrating about it is you would expect, or at least I would expect by now, that Apple would have a device based on their voice technology, which I'm not going to say the name of that either. Let's call that Shlomo. That's a name that I got from Andy Anotko. We would expect that they'd have a Shlomo technology, a little box that sits in your house so that you could talk to Apple's intelligent voice command stuff anywhere in your home. You can talk to it on your phone. You can talk to it on your watch. Now you can talk to it on the MacBook. I don't know where this box is and why Apple hasn't released this box. So I got tired of waiting for Apple, and I started playing with the Amazon Echo, and they're fantastic. And I have a Wink Hub, and I have a bunch of stuff hooked up in my house, and I can turn on lights and change thermostats and you know, unlock doors and do all kinds of crazy stuff just by giving it voice commands. And my children love this. They play with it all the time. And we have three or four of them in strategic locations throughout the house. And obviously, as you heard, one of the things that you can do is play the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, which is super cool. Other thing that you can do, not so great with this Amazon Echo device, but certainly better with Shlomo, Apple's product, is you can do voice search. And it turns out, you know, this is something that's been pioneered by Google. It turns out that Google is reporting maybe as much as 20% of searches done on Google Mobile are now done by voice. And I certainly ask Shlomo on my iPhone questions, search questions all the time. And so we know this is coming. And one of the things that Google has been doing to prepare this is for this transition, of course, they've been emphasizing mobile. We talked about that even just in the last episode about how important mobile is for your website. But the other thing that they've been doing that you've probably seen is they've started to add these featured snippets at the top of the search results. So if you enter a question into Google that has an answer, like say, for example, how do I bake a cake? That's a natural voice syntax. It's not how to bake cake or anything like you would normally type in, or cake, how to, or, you know, those kind of Google type in phrases. It's how do I bake a cake? And one of the things that you get back is a featured result out of, in this case, WikiHow, method one, making a vanilla pound cake. And it's an 8-step process and a link to the WikiHow article. Now, from an SEO standpoint, this is absolutely something that you want to do. So here's tip number one from this voice search trend. You want to construct your content in a way that allows you to rank and get these featured snippets. And the easiest thing for you to do that is for all your great content, make sure that you have a section of frequently asked questions and direct sort of concise answers to those questions that Google can find and choose to feature. And there's not a real magical algorithm to figure out how to get these things featured, but certainly you want your question and answer titles in H tags, and you want to have the question stated in the same way that you would expect someone would type it, and you want to have the answer to be concise and right there. It also sometimes can help to have an image nearby, because Google will pull an image in with that answer. And so that's super cool, and that's a search engine tip that if you usually that's associated with the first result, but boy, you want to talk about getting some click real estate. In this example of how do I bake a cake on my MacBook Pro, the combination of that featured snippet and the listing for the same article that the featured snippet comes out of is taking almost 40% of the search engine result page. So the click-through rate for that has got to be enormous. So I definitely recommend that you consider structuring your content in that way if you are interested in this kind of search traffic result. You can type in all kinds of questions and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And that should give you some ideas that you can add to your content. You know, there's this very famous annual trends report that Mary Meeker publishes. And in this report over on kpcb.com, Mary talks about the rise of digital assistants, voice assistants particularly, and how it's up, and that way more than half of U.S. smartphone users use a voice assistant some way on their phone, and the voice queries are up in Google by multiple factors of 10. And so the whole upshot of it is that voice search is coming and that you should be preparing for voice search. It's obvious, right? Besides the fact that we're getting these voice assistants, when do you use voice search? I use it whenever my hands are full, right? Whenever I'm driving or whether I'm doing something or when it's faster to talk than it is to type. And so these things that we generally refer to as conversational search queries are going to get more and more important. And this is all part of this 2013 Hummingbird update that really is part of artificial intelligence and these algorithms that Google is employing in search to try and understand what it is that you really are talking about. So just like when you were in grammar school, the kinds of keywords that you want to be placing in your content, or more appropriately, the questions that you want to be answering, are the questions about the newspaper questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how questions that you want to ask about whatever topic it is that you're writing about. Sometimes the main idea of the article is who, what, when, why, or how, but sometimes you write this great article and then there's an opportunity at the end to add a section of frequently asked questions where you can either look at keyword research results to understand exactly what's being looked for, or just use your imagination, because in some cases, this stuff hasn't quite trended yet because Google voice search is on the rise. And so you might just want to go ahead and guess what kind of questions are people asking and what should I be doing? So that's the reason that voice search is important. And it's my speculation that it will become more and more important for you to get shown in the search results, for you to be compatible with this kind of language that is used in search. Because in voice search, we say things quite a bit differently oftentimes than we do when we're typing things. By now, most of us have been trained to remove stop words and be very specific and to type into Google search a certain way. In other words, we might say something like Canon 7D firmware update. And that's what we might type in Google. But if we were just asking that question conversationally, we might ask, how do I update the firmware on my Canon 7D camera? And so that kind of thinking, that needs to be part of your thinking as you write content and have it rank in search. So I won't call you to action on this, but I will refer you to an excellent article in the show notes that's referenced in the show notes, again from Yoast. Yoast creates a tremendous amount of awesome SEO information. If you've got more interest in this topic, that article is there for the taking. Not saying you have to go read it, but you know, I don't want to fatigue you with too many calls to action here. It's very hard. See, it's very hard for me to not call you to action because I want you to go do stuff to make your business better. So before I let you go today, I wanted to say thank you. The month of January 2017 is a record for the number of downloads for the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. I really appreciate it. All of you that have taken time to share the podcast, to give me shout outs, download the episodes and listen. I've told you this a million times, but it's only because it's true. I really appreciate the investment that you make in me and in the podcast, and I hope you find it of great value. So thank you very much. Now, it's time to close the show, but I have this problem. See, I can't close the show with the normal outro because there's a call to action in the outro, and I promised you I wouldn't have any more of those. So I have a special treat. Many times I get the question, where did you get your show music? Where did that come from? And I tell you, there's this really famous jingle musician out there, and his name is Jeff Smith. He's also one of the nicest guys that ever walked Earth. I mean, this guy's just awesome. And when I knew I was starting the podcast back in, I guess it was back in 2009 when I approached Jeff, maybe, I think, yeah, around 2009, I said, hey, I want to do this podcast, and here's the story about the podcast, and, you know, I need a jingle. And so he called me and interviewed me for, like, I don't know, 45 minutes, asked me all these questions about the podcast, what it was about, who the target audience was. And at the end of it, I said, and remember, this was back in 2009, I said, I'm kind of thinking of something that's kind of reminiscent of the Friends music for the TV show Friends on Must See TV on NBC, which was popular, you know, 20 years ago. And so this is what he came up with. So to take us out, to avoid the call to action, I'm going to play the actual song, the Late Night Internet Marketing theme song. Used to play it all the time years ago, never play it anymore because now I play the cut down version in the beginning of the show from Music Radio Creative. So without further ado, the Late Night Internet Marketing theme song by Jeff Smith. And if you need to reach Jeff, he's easy to find with a link to his outfit in the show notes. I hope you have an absolutely fantastic day. I will talk to you next week when we talk about best practices for managing your calls to action and how to do that right in your content. That's next week. And the week after that, I've got an amazing interview about email marketing. I am going to blow your mind when we get Terry Dean on the show in 2 weeks. Until then, ciao.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
So I have to tell you, this escape room thing was so cool. So we went to this thing and there was a guy there named Andrew and he was awesome. And he has this kind of totally sarcastic attitude and an awesome British accent, dry Brit humor. I mean, he was great. And they took our team and we did an orientation. And then they put us in this room that looked exactly like an attic with fake rafters and, you know, fake wall studs and the whole thing. It looked like an attic. And there were trunks and chests of drawers and piles of junk and empty boxes and old bed frames and all the stuff that you'd expect to find in an attic. And they start you off with a little puzzle that you have to solve. And the puzzle results in a clue that causes you to find other clues. And eventually you find combinations that unlock locks, but you don't know which locks they unlock. And there are many different kinds of locks. And some of these locks are incredibly complicated. They're 12-digit combinations and all this stuff. You have to find all this stuff. At one point, you need, you know, special gear in order to even see the clue that you're looking for. I mean, it was really amazing. We made it out with 2 minutes to spare. We had so much fun. From an organizational development standpoint, which is something that I really care about, particularly in my day job, it was outstanding. I mean, this is really a good experience for teams because there's no way to get out of this room unless you cooperate, because there are more things to do than any one person can do. And you have to share information and have a high level of communication in order to collaborate and then go search for clues and collaborate and search and collaborate. It's really interesting. And this was considered an easy room. They have really hard rooms there. And in some rooms, the groups are divided in half. And the first part of the puzzle they have to solve just so they can get together so that they can collaborate to get out of the overall room. Some of the rooms are staged where you go, you escape one room only to be trapped in a second room. I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff. So if you haven't done an escape room, highly recommend it. If you go, you'll love that guy, Andrew, as much as I did. He's awesome. Ciao.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet.